Well, it is 5:30. We have all of our members, so I'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and get started. This is the Monday, September 27th, Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting, and we'll start with the first item on the agenda, which is flood damage and repairs, FEMA assistance grant. Who from staff is going to take this one? Oh, Mr. Ronda.
I believe that is me.
The floor is yours.
Okay. So the agreement in front of you is asking permission to have the mayor sign a reimbursement arrangement with FEMA routed through the State Emergency Management Services to repair some of the plantings and some lighting that was on the Ped Bridge. Shortly after the Ped Bridge was built, that winter, a flood came through and kind of wiped out a bunch of our plants that were required for mitigation. And there was like there's a 5-year minimum requirement to maintain all that stuff and do all that. And flood wiped it out. We came back and caught the problem the next time we did a review of the plants. And at first we kind of stumbled around trying to figure out why did all our plants die until we traced it back to the flood. Then we realized that FEMA actually has matching money to help pay for repairs for those types of things. They kick in 75%, and then the State Emergency Management Group also pitches in 12.5. So with this agreement, we will hopefully get about $100,000, maybe a little more than that, out of FEMA and the state, and we'll only have to come up with about $20,000 to put the plants back and to fix some of the pedestrian lighting that was also flooded out. So that's it in a nutshell, if you have any questions.
All right, it's pretty straightforward. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
Just really quick. I mean, it seems like this is something we have to do. The question is there lessons learned so we can potentially preserve the new planting or anticipate kind of, is there any kind of tools to kind of protect?
Not specifically for the plants. The plants are right down along the edge of the river. They kind of have to be because of the objective of having them mitigating for the work that we did in the riverbank. The lighting for the pedestrian bridge, we actually did make modifications of that. The reason it flooded out was because one of the junction boxes that we were using to kind of pull everything together was below the flood stage. We had it down near the ground so that people could get into that junction box and maintain the lighting without having to get on a ladder. And then we found out after it flooded that was probably not the best place for that. So we raised it up with the repairs, and that will at least make the lighting much more protected from future flood events. But, we're really hoping that we can just have enough years without any major floods on that river that we can get the plants to grow fast enough that even the next flood won't wipe them out. But that's what we're hoping for.
So we did have lessons learned. Great. And then, but for the other half, it's just circumstances. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
Going forward, Mike, a future flood that's outside that 5 years, then the cost is all on Coquilla to repair or replace?
Not necessarily. The objective of the replanting and the mitigation is to try and get plants on that floodplain that will kind of help protect the watershed itself. Once we make it past the 5 years, there's really nobody that's looking over our shoulder and forcing us to put more plants in. We're hoping that within the 5-year period, we'll have a good enough established native species on that slope that it can survive a flood. That's the objective.
But the cost of a future flood is going to fall all on Coquilla, correct?
It depends. It could if we couldn't show that it was a state declared or a nationally declared flood, right?
Okay.
If we can show that, we could go right back to the same program and ask for money to reimburse us again. But Hari's got a question.
Yeah, I think Mike hits a point there. Is the nature of the flood, is this a 100-year flood? What kind of event it is? that's what prompted FEMA to give the grants, because it was more than the normal event. So therefore, they reached out to all of the jurisdictions in our area and asked, do you have any damage due to the flood? And they offered this grant. So.
Chair, I'm okay with it. I just wanted to understand a little bit more.
Great. Thank you, Tom. All right. And I'm fine with it as well. I think the questions were very good. So this, we're looking to forward this to the October 4th regular meeting consent agenda. As long as you guys are fine with that. All right. We will do that. Brings us to our next item on the agenda, which is a future sewer lift station number 13 feasibility study. Hadib.
Yes. So we are looking to get a feasibility study agreement for a future sewer lift station 13. A little bit of a background. If you know where the Tequila Hill neighborhood area is, just around City Hall and to the north, all of that is mostly connected to sewer there and a lot of apartment complexes. And it all comes down to one connection point just south of City Hall at South Center Boulevard, the main road, and then that continues south and crosses 405. So all of that sewer flow comes to one single point of failure. And since the expansion and widening of 405, we have lost access to the sewer main that is under 405. So we're not able to maintain it or check what condition it's in. The financial planner had lift station 13 construction planned for 2024, and that's where the budget was allocated. We are not starting with any design work, but we're starting with a feasibility study here to see what our options are. A future lift station is very doable, but it is very expensive. So we just want to exhaust all of our resources and alternatives to see, is there another way we could repair it, or another alternative that would not require a mile of force main and a new lift station. So this is what this agreement is trying to tackle. We looked at five different proposals. We went with Gray and Osborne to do the feasibility study. And this is all sewer under the sewer budget for 2021. We have $75,000, and the feasibility study would cost $41,700. So it's within the budget, and it's 100% out of sewer. If there's any questions, this would be a good time to ask them.
Great, thank you. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod on this one.
Oh, I'm okay with this. I don't have any questions. I just moved to the hill. There's a lot of stuff that rolls off that hill. We need to do this.
I'm not going to touch that one. Councilmember Quinn.
It all rolls downhill. Question for you. I think you kind of, so one, I think it's due diligence. So I have three questions. The first one you touched on, because I wanted to get a sense of if we have to replace the force main, which I know that means acquisition, construction, all the above, how much would it be? The second question is the capacity of the pipe now, and would we have to potentially upsize it? So just knowing what's actually coming down the hill, is it more? And then the third question is, after we get the feasibility study, how are you going to prioritize this? Because if it fails, that would be significant for so many reasons. And that just the action alone that you're taking is a representation of being really proactive and thinking about the kind of infrastructure investments that we need to make. And Verna knows this. I'm huge on the kind of proactive infrastructure investments, so it doesn't really kill us if something breaks.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, that's exactly why we have moved it from waiting to 2024 to doing it now, because it is a single point of failure. If something happens, hopefully not, we haven't seen any signs that something is wrong, but we are taking that step to look at the alternatives. Hopefully next year we have a much clearer idea of what the alternatives are, what we can and can't do, and what the cost is. And then going back to your first and second questions, this is all new pipe. So we do not have a forced main and south center. We have a gravity fed pipe for sewer, and we don't necessarily have urgent capacity upgrades along that sewer. I believe it's a 12 inch, which should be fine. We have a project, I think, in the next 5 years that will look at this capacity. So it would be a good time to coordinate that lift station project with the South Center upgrade project. The other part is, as I said, we don't have any force main there, so we would be adding this, and it would be a lot of added pipe, at least half a mile of added pipe, depending what the alternatives will look like, and that would cost a few million, I think 2 to 5, really depending on the alternative and what the ground looks like there. And we have that allocated in the budget in the 2024 numbers currently. And then capacity upgrades, we likely need a capacity upgrade slightly from the existing 12 inch, but as I said, it's not a high priority. We haven't seen any signs that we're undersized or there's backflow or people complaining about their side sewers there.
Thank you. I'm supportive.
Great. Thank you, Deshaun. All right. And I'm fine with this as well. You hit the highlights. This comes out of the sewer fund. So I think we're all in agreement then to forward this to the October 4th regular meeting consent agenda. All right. Next. Thank you. So next we have the Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal. Mr. Perfetti.
Hello. Good evening. So this is switching over to surface water funds. This is the Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal Project, which will restore fish passage between Gilliam Creek and the Green River while maintaining the flood protection that's important to the South Center area. We've been chipping away at getting some funding for this project, and this topic is about a $200,000 grant award that we're getting from the King County Flood Control District via their funds that they allocate each year to the RIAs, to RIA 9 in our case. RIA 9 has prioritized this project amongst their high priority lists and advocated for us to get this funding. We filled out an application and are being awarded $200,000 to move forward with design. And this will complement the money that we have to date for design, which is, you'll see in the fiscal impact section, $100,000 that we already have from CWM funds in an active agreement, and then $61,000 we've dedicated through our CIP, giving us $361,000 to date to move forward with design. So we're currently looking at a couple of different alternatives. The price point differs between the two, so we don't know what the total design costs will be. Where, as you can see in the design budget for 2021, we have $936,000 there. So this is going to get us, how far through design this gets us, I'm not 100% sure, but that this will get us to a point where I think we'll know the alternatives and hopefully a little bit beyond. And so our recommendation is to move this to the consent agenda, authorizing the mayor to sign this grant agreement for $200,000.
Thank you, Mike. Councilmember Quinn.
So this is kind of a pass-through dollars for the King County Flood District, and that is a separate government ran by the Flood District Board. Not ran out of kind of King County government. So I'm comfortable moving this forward, but I just thought I would articulate that on the record for those that don't know the kind of separate process that's entailed with the King County Flood District.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
Yeah, I'm okay with this. I mean, to confirm, nothing's coming out of the general budget for this, right? It's all the CWM.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm fine with this.
Thanks, Tom, and I am as well. So this will be forwarded then to also the October 4th consent agenda. So that takes care of that. Thanks, Mike. Oh, Hari, did you have a quick comment?
Yeah, thank you, committee. I just wanted to announce one thing, the staffing changes. As you know, Ryan Larson is retiring.
Oh.
End of the month. Okay, if you didn't know, yeah, Ryan Larson had 30 years in the system, so he decided to venture other options.
Wow.
Good for him. But yeah. Mike Perfetti since has been promoted into Ryan's position.
Great.
So you will see Mike taking care of the habitat projects, plus some of the projects that Ryan had been taking care of. So I just wanted to introduce that staffing change to you all. Thank you.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Great.
So what Hari's telling us, in 3 days, Ryan's out, right?
Okay. Yeah, Thursday, I think, is his last day.
Wow.
No, didn't know it. So thank you.
Yeah, great. All
Congratulations,
right.
Mike.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep. All right, thank you. So that will also go to the 10-4. And, gee, I think you're going to stay right where you are, Mike, because next is the Surface Water Fund Chinook Wind Public Access Project.
Yes, thank you. So also a Surface Water Fund project. Whoa, I'm looking at the wrong page here. Excuse me. So this one is to authorize a consultant agreement with J.A. Brennan Associates. Pardon me, I am not, can you please tell me what page you are on?
45. So Mike, if you don't mind, I can start the conversation if you
page
want
45.
To find the page. So, committee, this is the, King County is doing a Chinook Wind fish habitat project right next to Public Works Shop site on Tukwila International Boulevard. As part of that project they're doing, the land between Chinook Wind, the fish habitat, and the Public Works land, they have an easement that they're proposing as a walkway slash easement. That's the public benefit for the public to walk through, and that's what Mike is bringing that to you. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, my apologies. Yes, so we, for that Chinook Wind Public Access Project, which goes back to 2014, it was a CIP project. King County bought the site in 2015 and has been working through their in-lieu fee mitigation program to develop the site of the habitat restoration component, which should be underway any day now. They've got a contractor on board. And so we are have gone out with an RFP for a designer for the public access portion of the project through the easement that Hari mentioned. And we went, looked on the MRSC and issued an request for proposals to three firms that had experience in the area and that had expressed interest in the project. We got two proposals, and through a predefined criteria, the selection committee selected J.A. Brennan Associates as the highest ranking firm. J.A. Brennan has done design work for Duwamish Gardens, and also they are currently under contract with Tukwila for the Tukwila Pond Master Plan. The project, the costs that they anticipate are for $63,373.10, which is within our $88,000 budget. Up to 50% of that can be paid with an RCO grant that we have in hand. We're asking you to approve the consultant agreement with J.A. Brennan and consider this item on the consent agenda on October 4th.
Great. Thank you, Mike. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod. Councilmember McLeod? I think he's frozen.
Okay.
Tom, are you frozen?
Here.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm okay with this. I read through it here, and I think I understand it. So, yes, this can go to the consent.
Thank you, Tom. Councilmember Quinn.
I read through it as well. I know it's within budget. And is it matching our kind of priority for the sources of funds? I just wanted an affirmation on that.
Can you clarify that question?
So it's within budget, and I just wanted to say, like, this is consistent with our prioritization of completing projects like this that are dedicated in this way. Just confirmation that this matches our priority, and I know it's within budget. So
I would say yes.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
It takes our goals of providing public access to the riverfront and all that.
All right. Great. So I think we're in agreement to send this to the October 4th regular meeting consent agenda.
Thank you.
Mike. So is there anything else to come before the committee tonight?
I have a question on the agenda. It talks about future agenda, 42nd Avenue South Bridge. That's just what, a placeholder? That's not a specific thing for a specific date. Is that correct?
Yeah, Council, I think what happens is we were given an update every quarter, and this happened to come from that. And we're actually looking close at this. We just came to you through you, and we went to the council for the 30% to 100% design up the 42nd Bridge. So this is really just a stand-up item. We can remove it. There's not much to update at this stage.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So I think with that, we can adjourn this meeting, and we'll see everybody at 7 o'clock. Thank you, guys.